Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, it's the best show. What's up, everybody? Here in early April, it's Tom Sharpling speaking to you from Los Angeles and quarantining, social distancing, all that. Yeah, but you know what I'm also doing is I'm working hard on trying to do the best show, and we're doing that each and every week, and I feel good about it. Do you feel good about it? I enjoy doing the show all the time, and then the challenges come down, and that's kind of exciting in its own way, to have to think around the challenges and find ways to do the show in forms that will be good or great, hopefully great, right? Or the best, it says the best in the title. So trying to do that, but be safe and healthy and all that. And look, some days your old friend Tom don't want to get out of bed. You just want to sit there and watch Workaholics again. Why am I watching Workaholics? I don't know. I'm really way too deep of a dive on that. I don't know. It goes down easy. It's like mashed potatoes. It's comfort food. So I guess that's why I watch it. I know the answer to that already. That's what I'm doing. So we're doing the show in all sorts of different forms and stuff. We got things recorded at different points in different ways. In tonight's show, we're going to have a conversation with me and Mike and Pat and Jason. And then there's a call I took from a disgruntled listener. And then there's a musical segment and a guest interview that I conducted by driving to the home of Mary Lattimore, the amazing harp player who we all love and is so good. And it's Mary Lattimore and Paul Sakina, who they are sharing a home, a split residency. So they are exposed to each other in the quarantine. And I threw the 25-foot mic cable out my window. They plugged in, recorded a beautiful harp and guitar duet session. Then we had a conversation afterwards. But I'm telling you, this session, truly in the throes of all this stupidity and terror and all that, it's just nice to hear some things you appreciate, some art you appreciate, and it's a time for appreciating art because it kind of keeps us going. So I want to be one of the people that appreciates it and still continue to be one of the people that makes it. So I need it as much as possible, and people have said they enjoy having the show there. I don't want to say need. It's not my place to say need. You could say need if you need it. I'm not going to say you need it. But you probably is people that need it. So what I'm doing is making the show, putting the show out there for you, hoping it helps you, and doing that. And also, while I enjoy my fair share of content. So if you make something, I know it's hard right now, try to make it. Try to see what it feels like. Even if you only do a little. Just do something to just remind yourself that who you are in the face of this thing. Also, this week is exciting because it is the launch of the podcast that Julie Klausner and I are doing, Double Threat. Double Threat. I said it three times. I'd make it triple. It's Double Threat, and it's on the Forever Dog Podcast Network, and it's really funny. It's me and Julie kind of winding each other up and giving each other the business, and then we'll get a guest on. We'll give them a little bit of a hard time, and we'll do podcast rescue, and there's other segments, and we're doing it each and every week. First one went up on Monday, yesterday. Special guest Martha Kelly from Baskets. So funny. It's really good. Love Martha. Love Julie. So track that down. Go to Double Threat Pod. At Double Threat Pod and look it up or get it from my ats or Julie's ats and subscribe to it and follow it and give it good reviews and listen to it and tell people about it. You want something to laugh at? It's give you something to laugh at. It's funny. Funny show. Double Threat. But the best show, baby, that's where we're at right now. Don't worry, Best Show fans. Tom ain't going nowhere. If anything, I made more of a commitment to the Best Show. I'm going to keep doing that. Keep serving it up, giving you what you need. So you keep listening. We'll keep rocking and rolling. I'll keep doing this and that. That's a quote from the Boogie Nights, which is as old as rock and roll now. So whatever. I got to stop that. Start doing quotes from new movies like Onward. Just start throwing cool Onward quotes in the middle of things. Yeah, it's right. That's from The Gentleman. That's from Onward. Oh, you recognize that last quote I said? That was from The Invisible Man. Yeah, these are all 2020 movies. That's right. I make references to contemporary movies because I'm a pretty contemporary guy. Without further ado, let's start the Best Show. Best Show. Go for it. Best Show. Hey, it's Tom. Oh, God, what am I doing? Oh, what are we all doing, right, guys?
Yeah.
Who's that?
It's Mike. Yeah, it's Mike.
Happy Mike. Answer. Oh, Mike. Thank God, you sounded so different. Mike, you were telling me before we started talking, you've been getting your shopping done at where? Quick Check?
Quick Check and Rite Aid.
So you're living off of, I picture this is what I picture you eating, a fair amount of miniature cornbreads.
Ooh.
That they sell.
Who has that?
That's a quick check.
Oh, is it? Okay.
That's one of those things they put in the little bakery baskets. They have like a little, single mini loaf of cornbread.
They haven't been putting them in Bayonne. It may not be popular there.
Well, it's a pandemic. They may have cut back on the cornbread.
And that's Jason Dudio Gore. We all know him, the star of Jason Gore's Midlife Crisis. How any dates you got coming up for that?
Well, I had an April date, but it's done now. Who knows, man? I'd love to perform it again when this is all said and done, but it's also, I was talking to Kristen about this the other night. It's like, who wants to go see me do a bunch of sad characters and complain about my midlife crisis when there's a much larger crisis happening?
All I'll say to that is Kristen is 100% right, and you are 100% right at the same time, because it takes 15 seconds for anybody to slide into complaining about anything.
Yeah.
And feeling justified in it.
Yeah.
In moaning about their lot in life. I mean, it's like I was talking to my good friend, David.
Copperfield?
He runs a record label. And he's been on a boat for the last few weeks. And he was complaining about the beluga caviar.
Oh.
A little gritty. And he really is... he's just beside himself.
Yeah, is life worth living when the caviar is gritty?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, they and his, you know him, right, Mike?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw those photos on Twitter.
Yeah, he put a pretty classy photo of his boat, and people don't know that drone that took the photo was not like a super fancy drone. Everybody assumes that was just like a $75,000 drone. It's not that expensive.
Now that's a beginner's drone.
It's a beginner's drone. Sure, yes. And we got Pat Byrne, of course, last but certainly not least. Some would say last but first.
Oh, well, that's sweet of you. Thank you. And hello. Hello to everyone. We're here. The best show rolls on, and we're going to keep doing it.
See, this is what people like about Pat, and they're like, this is why Pat's important to the show, because it's like Mike comes on, immediately starts moaning about that they didn't have any oversized pickles at the Quick Check in those weird pickle bags. Dudio immediately complaining he can't do his show, that this is one, a tribute to his ego.
People still want to laugh.
But then Pat says, I'm concerned about everyone else. How's everyone else doing?
That's truly the dynamic. I think that's the dynamic that works for pretty much everything.
I don't know how it's so easy to do that. Why is it? Is it easy for other people to do that? It's sort of just fact twisting? Or is that a skill set that I have an abundance of? I don't know. I think I'm good at it. There's some times where I'm just like, yeah, I can see what the – look, do I think the president is the worst? Yeah, absolutely. He's literally the worst, and he's getting worse somehow.
Every day.
Absolutely. Ways to get worse. Do I understand his, like, patterns? Yeah, I kind of do sometimes. Like – He's just this guy who's like forever like busted, and he's trying to dance. He's so frustrated that all he's doing is dancing now out of people who can play gotcha with him all day long.
Yeah.
There was a clip this evening, I guess, from today's press conference where he is basically just shooting down the idea of mail-in ballots. And then a reporter said, but sir, you did a mail-in ballot last month. And he's like, yeah, I can do that.
Yeah, he's a lot like that Martin Short character now, Nathan Thurm, who had like the extended cigarette ash, who would always be like the nervous lawyer who'd be like, that's not what I said. Like somebody would say, you said this, but that's not what I said. It's so funny that you would think that, that I would say that. That is not exactly the opposite of what I feel like. He now is at that point in things where he has begun to evoke Nathan Thurm.
I don't know why people want to shut him down. I mean, he shoots himself in the foot just about every press conference.
Mm-hmm.
So why do you want to shut that down? I mean, I'm glued to the TV. He's found that his time is about 5:31. You know how he's.
We lost Mike.
Oh.
For shit, you know?
We lost you there for about 10 seconds, Mike.
We lost him again.
Okay.
See what you're doing. Okay.
Mike?
Yeah, I'm here.
We lost you.
It's a little frightening him cutting in and out, and then when he comes back in, he's laughing.
Yeah.
Now I see you've already found an angle you can work on this thing.
Wait, you think I'm controlling this?
I found the angle. I found the angle with the funny voices. I could do a weird voice, and it can throw you guys for a second or two.
No, but you were in the middle of saying something about Trump, Mike, that his limit is 5-something, and then your phone cut out.
Well, no, he goes on at like 5:40.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that seems to be the time he's zeroed in on for some reason. I think it's because it's probably, I mean, in the old normal, it was probably like nobody listens or watches at that time. And he used to follow Cuomo.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he realized that wasn't like a good look for him right after Cuomo.
Mm-hmm.
So he's put it off into like 5:30, 5:40 in there. But I'm riveted. I mean, you're just waiting for him to like sort of lose it. I mean, today was relatively stable. You know, he bickered with the press as usual. But Sunday was weird. I mean, he keeps pushing that hydroxychloroquine, you know, and it turns out he's got a financial connection to it.
What? That, I don't believe that for a second.
I know.
But on Sunday, yeah.
Hydroxy, say it the way he says it, Mike. He's like.
No, you do it better.
What is hydroxychloroquine?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But you tweeted a thing that was so perfect that you're picking up on like a Jim Jones vibe off of him.
Yeah, yeah. No. Yeah, Sunday he went into this real sort of soft voice.
Yeah, it's like hydroxychloroquine.
What do you got to lose?
What have you got to lose? Like very simple. Well, I mean, one thing I could think is your life is one of the things. He sounds like the guy who's like in like an after school special, like the kid who is already doing drugs is trying to lure the other kid into trying it, taking a hit off a
he's
joint
behind the school.
Drinking. Yeah. Come on. Weird. Take a hit off this. What have you got to lose?
Yeah, it was just like that. And then on Sunday also, a reporter threw him like a softball to humanize him, right? You know, most people can't relate to his behavior. So this reporter asks him about how his son is coping with all this.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't even sort of be human during that moment. His response was sort of like, he likes soccer. He can't play soccer now. And that was like it. You know, he was done. You know, that's enough about his son, you know. Mm-hmm. So even when somebody tries to help him, you know, he doesn't even see the opportunity, you know. But that's what we got.
No, he's I don't know. He's just, well, look, you know, I'm not a big fan of, I didn't vote for him. I know, I'm not sure if you guys did or not, but I didn't vote for him.
I think two of us did. Yeah.
Two of us did, two of us didn't.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, one of us legally can't vote. Uh-huh. One of us didn't vote for him, and two of us just did. What a great batting average that would be. Sounds like the Impractical Jokers, I tell you.
Who do you think of the Jokers?
Who do you think of the Jokers voted for Trump?
I say all four of them did.
I don't think Sal. Sal didn't vote for
him. I'm going to say Joe.
I'm going to say none of the four did.
Yeah.
That's what I say. I say none of the four.
I mean, they're all in the top tax bracket now, so.
Yeah. So what about think all four did? Mike says all four Jokers voted for Trump.
What about Casey Jost?
Casey Jost, he's like he probably wrote in like Mickey Mouse. Wonder how those votes are going to go over this year. People writing in Superman or Donald Duck.
If you had to write in somebody, who would you write in?
Now? I probably would write in Casey Jost.
Casey Jost. Yeah. That's what I would put.
Yeah. I'd probably write in Casey Jost. Because I think he's the Jost with the most. I think he would probably pick Colin as his running mate, and then it would be a Jost ticket. Right?
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live. At the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Then they would definitely get Staten Island locked up then, and Harvard.
Would the logo just be Jost with like the little power of two?
Yeah, it would just be. But I picture it would be kind of like done in like a double vision kind of thing, as if your vision was kind of blurry.
Okay.
In two different colors.
If you put on 3D glasses, it would really pop out.
Punch you in the face. You get punched in the face by Jost, yeah. So what have you been doing to get through the days? Pat, you've been working a lot, right?
I've been working. It's finally at a point where, you know, there's definitely days in the week where I do, you know, north of my usual hours, but today I finished around 5:30. That's reasonable. Did a couple other things after, like, you know, walking the dog and stuff, but for the most part, the day ended and I was able to, you know, make some dinner and get ready for the best show. And this is good. Like, I'm glad to be doing this and have, you know, some piece of creativity moving and the things we have planned. I'm really excited for everything we got going.
We've been connecting on a regular basis, and it's been very, very nice because we are cranking out tons of content right now.
Really has been nice, and there's a big chess piece about to get put on the board that we will reveal in the next few days, which but will other, be fun.
Otherwise, just like, you know, watching a little bit of TV at night before bed.
Have you seen Tiger King?
Oh, yes. I finally watched it.
Oh, my God. There's a guy on this. I'm not kidding you. He is a tiger trainer.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy is like a character and a half. I mean, his name's Joe Exotic. That's his. Wow. I'm not kidding. His name is Joe Exotic.
Legally.
I can't take Tiger King.
Yeah.
I can't take people that are mad at Tiger King. I can't take people that are mad at the people that are mad at Tiger King.
I'm very neutral on the whole thing.
There's been more backlashes on this thing than anything.
Yeah, and there's a new episode coming out this week, right?
No.
Yeah,
no,
they're working on like another episode, like a final episode, like I guess an aftermath kind of thing.
Yeah,
because it's been so huge.
King on coronavirus.
And now there's like Tiger News everywhere. There's like sensationalized Tiger News that Bronx Zoo tiger that got COVID or something. It's just like,
that
all
wasn't
right,
sensationalized. That was true.
Yeah, but the
tiger got COVID.
But we're not hearing about a bear that got it. We're hearing about a tiger.
Yeah, because a bear didn't get it.
Maybe a bear did get it. I'm saying it's super specific and it's super coincidental.
Hold on a second. You're saying the Tiger King gave a tiger COVID?
That is exactly what Pat's saying.
No. I can back Pat up here. There was a story about a tiger in the Bronx Zoo that has the virus.
Yeah.
Thanks to Joe Exotic.
Well, no, it has nothing to do with Joe Exotic, but you know the story does probably play into the Joe Exotic mania that's going on.
So, Pat, you're saying if there was a Bear King on Netflix, we would hear more about bears that are infected.
Which, I mean, you're saying that, but I agree with it.
That's on next week's best show, by the way. That was perfect. It was well played, Pat.
Yeah. Thank you.
Next week's best show, we're going to talk about, we're going to each come up with a reality, like a show that would be the next Tiger King or the next Love is Blind. We just need to come up with the next extreme television show.
The next extreme reality show on Netflix. Yeah.
It has to be reality?
Or just like, it could be a narrative reality thing or a game show.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's something, a fun project, yeah.
And listeners can take part in it also if they want to come up with scenarios.
Tom, I had a question. How long did it take you to get through that series, like top to bottom?
Tiger King, two days.
2 days. So you did like
Don Jr.
So you did like three episodes a day or something. It's like six parts, right?
Yeah. So it's seven parts.
Yeah.
Maybe it's seven. Yeah. But okay.
Me and Don Jr. did it in two parts. Yeah.
Is that what he said?
Yeah. He did it in 2 days. Yeah.
Oh, good.
And he also, it was embarrassing. I don't want to cut you off, Pat. I just want to say
this. Oh, yeah, of course.
The one thing he said, which was like, was troubling, that I understood something that Donald Trump Jr. said. It's just like, it came away being like, man, a tiger is pretty cheap.
Yeah, that's what you said the first week. Yeah.
But then he just said that on some dumb interview. And now I feel like, but he was saying it in a way that, like, he wanted one. Like,
he's scratching his chin, yeah.
Like, man, I wish I had pulled the trigger on a tiger. Right. I'm thinking, yeah. Just like, can you believe?
No, I think it would probably be because he pays more to shoot them, right? I mean, he's into the big game thing. Has he shot a tiger yet?
Oh, I'm sure
he's probably would shoot it in his house.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's an old press photo of Donald Trump in the 90s where there's a tiger in Trump Tower or something. Mm-hmm. The family's there. Yeah. But
what were you about to say, Pat? I didn't mean to.
No, just I was wondering how long it took you to get through it. You know, we watched like maybe an episode a night, and you know, the thing I keep thinking about is that this show, just the sheer timing of it, will make it the most successful, probably one of the most successful TV shows that ever dropped on a streaming platform, maybe, you know, ever, just because it was the most binge-worthy show that landed right before a global pandemic. So their numbers, I mean, it's really not fair. But
people are going to remember Tiger King in the same way that they remember that picture of the nurse and the sailor in Times Square having a kiss.
Exactly. Yeah, that's okay.
Great.
That's our remembrance is going to be Joe Tiger, Joe Exotic kissing a tiger in Times Square.
Yeah. T-Day.
On T-Day.
I had an idea for a topic, and you know, because we are sort of freed up more than usual to see stuff like Tiger King.
Yeah.
I thought, like, what other pandemic discoveries have you made during this time that you don't think you would have made under any other circumstances?
Do you have any?
Well, the thing I fell into was somebody had posted on the Facebook Best Show page a link to I guess a lot of record store owners are out of work. Mm-hmm. So they're doing videos. I've never really looked into the whole record collecting world on YouTube. But this one guy put up a video. The channel is called In Grooves. And basically, he spent about almost an hour, I think, discussing the various versions of Asia, the Steely Dan album, and which versions are superior, which are inferior. He had 10 different copies of the album that he went through one by one, mm-hmm. you know, describing, you know, what's better, what, you know, and it was just sort of a, you know, I mean, I guess I would consider myself, compared to the average person, a record collector, but this took it to a whole other level. I know it exists, but I've never really sort of looked into it to see how far these guys go with it. Mm-hmm. And it was troubling, you know, and to just see this guy with his 10 copies, you know, the Japanese pressing, two different mm-hmm. Japanese pressing, the mobile fidelity version, the first issue, you know, one after the other.
Yeah.
And it was somebody pointed out how the end game of collecting or appreciating anything is sort of a joyless, analytical, you know, just you sort of lose touch with the music.
You get it gets reduced to like a checklist.
Yeah.
You end up with 10 copies of Asia.
Yeah.
I mean, I could have told them which one would sound good and which one would sound bad. It's a pretty simple thing. None of them would sound good. It's Steely Dan. Mike, I almost cursed. I almost said it's effing Steely Dan. The walls are coming down, Mike.
But then that video led to another guy who was reacting to his put down of the Japanese issues of the album, Ron Beaudry. Mm-hmm. And then I ended up watching a bunch of his videos.
Yeah.
And, you know, basically what you know, I fell into this sort of rabbit hole mm-hmm. of these super collectors. And basically what it comes down to is that these videos are about loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
That these guys are these albums are like life preservers to these guys. They're keeping them, you know, still alive and, you know, somewhat engaged. But there's something just very depressing about the whole thing. The guy from Ron Beard Beaudry, he's mm-hmm. from Canada. He sounds like Mr. Rogers. So it's sort of almost breaks your heart when he's going into great detail about every one of these records.
But is it soothing?
No, it's
no, it's too sad to be soothing.
Yeah, no, I had to stop. I mean,
okay, mm-hmm.
but you know, yeah, it could, but I don't think I would have discovered this, you know, if it wasn't for the pandemic. Basically.
They're not selling these records; they're just talking about them, correct?
Well, the guy who, In Grooves guy, he has a record store, so yeah, okay. He sells them. Yeah,
because these videos kind of make me. I've been watching a lot of these comic shops on like Facebook. We'll have a Facebook Live video where they just keep putting up all these like really rare comic books that they have for sale and talking a little bit about the story about them, what the grade is.
Right.
And then all of like the collectors just going off in the comments, like they disagree with the store or they immediately put a bid in. And it's, I've watched maybe 10 of them. I would have never watched that before the pandemic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's bringing out, it's not even bringing out the best or worst. It's just amplifying certain things like
the middle
to where, yeah, it's bringing out the middle. That's exactly what it is. It's like to where you're just engrossed watching two guys argue over a Japanese pressing of a bad Steely Dan, an album that's bad by Steely Dan standards. It's bad. Right? I mean, that's bad. Like, people who actually think Steely Dan are good think that album blows, right?
No, not me. I like that record.
You do, does it have FM on
no, that's not on there. No, no.
It has Deacon Blues, right?
Deacon Blues.
The ba, that's the one that goes the da 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 da, right? It's always those like melancholy chords that just like, man, I don't want to hear when the Kinks or the Beatles start doing that music hall trash. I don't want to hear that, and I don't want to hear these guys do their tribute to vaudeville or whatever they're doing with that that Vivodio Doe music, whatever that is. Like, it's like I got to listen to Donald Fagen do the Winchester Cathedral, but sing about heroin needles. I don't know, Mike. I've had it with Steely Dan.
I know. Have you gone anywhere where you didn't think you'd go if it wasn't for the pandemic?
Oh yeah, no. I've done a fair amount of. Well, I've been watching these Godard movies now. Uh-huh. Godard. Do you know him, Godard?
Yeah.
And apparently, first of all, Godard is still alive. Did you know that?
Yeah, he's got something going on Instagram.
Yes. And then secondly, I found out this morning he's been like going on like he's just been going online and like answering fans' questions. This guy's like 800 years old, and he's like one of the all-time greats of movie making, and he's just like. He's just an old guy sitting in front of a computer now answering fan questions. That's kind of nice, right?
Yeah. How many points to get Godard on the best show?
Well, he doesn't speak English, does he? So it's I'm just going to put him somewhere. I'll put him around I still put the highest on Tiger King. And I think Mike can do it.
When's he due out?
What's that?
You know, I mean, once he gets out of prison, it's going to be like a celebration. You know, I mean, I bet there's people like, can people still visit people in jail with the pandemic going on?
I don't know. Not anymore.
No?
No.
I mean, he's going to be one of these guys, it's going to last for like 2 weeks, and then people are going to be like, man, Tiger King's still here. Got to get away from this guy.
You don't think he's going to get a series when he gets out of jail?
Yeah, he is, but it's going to bomb because everybody's going to lose interest in him.
Uh huh.
He'll also just ruin it, probably.
Oh, that goes hand in hand with it. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. But he will blow it. He will find a way. He will get the gift of a television series, and he will end up getting removed from the show. And they'll probably get that guy Jeff in again. What if they did that? Like he got replaced by Jeff twice.
I don't even want to think about how many slurs they had to edit out of this show.
Oh, of Tiger? Can you imagine?
Yeah, I mean, just so many slurs.
Well, there's already that one video, and I don't know if it's in the series because I haven't watched it, about him being upset that he can't use the N-word.
Yeah, no, I believe it. Like, I didn't want to even, you know, mention...
Wait, I didn't know about any of this.
Yeah, like, he probably... The editors of this documentary, who are, you know, hand over, just brilliant editors. I was thinking about them throughout the entire watch. Very good editing in this thing. But they probably have a sizzler reel of just slurs. Just the stuff on the cutting room floor. It was probably, cringeworthy.
Isn't it funny? All I can think of was you just said, Pat, all I can think of was like, man, I wish I could eat at Sizzler. I don't even eat steak, and I'm just like, man, sure be nice.
What was sure Sizzler nice the one
sit down at a Sizzler right
good
now?
Good baked potato.
Wait,
salad bar.
Did Sizzler were they the ones that had the good buffet?
Did Sizzler? Yeah,
had, like, you mean I like think they did? Bar? Yeah.
No, I think they had like a proper buffet, like a hot buffet.
I don't know about that.
You think you're Golden Corral,
Ponderosa.
Ponderosa, it's Ponderosa you're thinking of, Pat.
Okay.
Did they have a buffet? I thought they were just like straight up steakhouse.
No, Ponderosa had a buffet.
Was it lunch buffet?
There was one in West Orange we used to go to. I'm sure Chris Gethard has stories of that too.
Did you guys have Shoney's up here?
No, we
didn't. Shoney's, man.
But we got Shoney's commercials. Good. Isn't that weird? We got Shoney's commercials, and we
Like Connecticut or Pennsylvania.
And we used to get. There was a lot of other things in our market where we would they were out of market, but we'd get their commercials, like Little Caesars. I never saw Little Caesars in North Jersey, but we always got their.
It wasn't there.
There's one in Union City now.
But Little Caesars is around now, but it's
Now they are.
Look, I'm on record as it's being well documented by my folly with Cece's Pizza.
Oh God, oh Lord, yeah.
All those commercials are haunted by this mystery pizza that I ate three times and was just like, it got worse each time. I don't know what I thought was going to happen there. As if first time saw the commercials would be on in New Jersey all the time, never saw a CC's Pizza within 1,000 miles. Driving through North Carolina, coastal North Carolina, see one, go into it. It's disgusting.
Yeah, that was in Wilmington, wasn't it?
It was in Wilmington, yes.
Yeah, I've passed that CC's that you ate at.
Well,
I didn't eat at it.
I did.
I ate at the one in Rutherford. Now, when you were eating at CC's, and because Chris and I used to go to the one in Rutherford a few times, we stopped at the last time we went, we stopped because I don't know if they had this at the CC's in Wilmington, but they push around this giant, like, plastic container that when they clean off the tables, they just put all of the plates and the pizza that's on the plates into this gigantic container filled with water. Mm-hmm. And the person stopped it at our table and went off to do something else. So we're trying to eat.
That'd be actionable. That's
the
most disgusting thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah. And there's just there's like toppings and crust and plates. And it's see-through. It's not even like,
not
what's the point of
looking at it like an aquarium filled with pizza bits?
Why a big bucket of water? I don't get that.
I guess just to like pre-wash them before they throw them back there to the guy who does the big hose. I don't know.
Gross.
It's so disgusting.
When the CC showed up in New Jersey, I had to try it, and it was terrible. And then like 2 years later, they were just like, CC's new and improved menu. I'm like, let's see what that's all about. And it was worse. And that does it for me for the rest of my life. I'll never. But it took me three times to learn what other people would just be like, yeah, that pizza's going to be bad. I can tell you right now from the price point that it's $9, eat as much of it as you want.
I thought it was terrible. Like $4.95. I think $4.95 is lunch.
Might have been $4.95. I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
It was shockingly cheap.
It's Golden Corral. It's cheaper for lunch than dinner, and it's pretty much the same thing.
That's their slogan. That's their new slogan.
They're also, owner of Golden Corral refuses to shut down the Chocolate Wonderfall.
Well, nobody's eating there. What are they doing? Waterfall takeout?
It's on.
No, it's like the eternal flame in
JFK's grave.
Yes, it must be.
Oh God! When I die, guys, please just give me an eternal chocolate water fountain.
Done.
Right above my headstone.
That would be a pretty sweet headstone.
It would.
That just was like a chocolate wonderfall.
Where the chocolate's replaced and it's hygienically okay to eat?
No, it just takes constant maintenance. You'd have to have somebody on hand for the hours that the graveyard's open.
Putting out like
marshmallows,
Rice Krispie treats, gummy bears.
Yeah. And then just kind of keeping that stuff fresh.
You'd have a popular headstone even for people who didn't know you. They'd just be like, oh, we got to go over by.
Should
you go to Dudio's grave?
Yeah.
Funeral is underway. People starting to drift away. You notice they're heading over a couple plots away. And they come back with a giant ring of chocolate around their mouth.
Yeah. And some wooden sticks. They're just looking for a place to throw them away.
Yeah. They come back. Yeah. They're supposed to throw like a flower on the casket, they throw just a wooden stick from the other
from the Chocolate Wonderfall at Jason Gore's heads now. So what else is going on? What have you been watching, Mike? Any actual shows?
No, I mean,
any movies?
What did I watch recently? I started watching Ghost World. I hadn't seen it in a long time.
On Criterion Channel?
Yeah, it's on there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good movie. I mean, again, I keep running into lonely guys and their records.
Mm-hmm.
It captures that world.
Yeah, that guy would be that he would have been arguing about the first Japanese pressing on that, but he likes even worse music. That
no, I mean, he's Robert Crumb, you know, the character's Robert Crumb, you know, and you know,
that Rudy Tooty kind of like that kind of. Walk boards and stuff.
There's gotta be you will listen to music beyond what year? I think you're just you're not even like interested.
Wait, what do you mean? What, where I won't go before a certain year?
Yeah.
I don't know. Probably like 2013. I won't listen to anything before it. I don't know. Look, I'll listen to. Let me think. What I would honestly put on my own. My own volition.
Yeah.
I mean, I will play Miles Davis stuff, but it's not really from the 50s, though. That stuff, that cool stuff, don't do it for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're pretty much 1960s.
I guess I'll listen to like old country and stuff from
All right. Yeah. Hank Williams.
Yeah. Like, I love that.
Okay.
Like any of that stuff, I love. Uh-huh. I'd listen to that. I'd listen to. I would listen to old rock and roll. I listen to that.
Uh-huh.
So that's the 50s. Yeah. You know, certain blues stuff is not my favorite, but I would listen to. I can listen to that if I'm in the mood for it, but it's not my go-to by any measure. But
Rat Pack.
Stuff like that, less and less. I find myself wanting to go back to that stuff less and less, like that kind of brassy big band kind of stuff. It just, you know, I'll usually cycle through, like, where once a year I'll go on a little run and listen to stuff like that, but I haven't done that in ages. You know, like, when's the last time you listened to like any of that kind of stuff, Mike, like Frank Sinatra or anyone like that?
Mike's gone
again.
It's probably just an internet connection thing. He'll pop back up in a second.
I'm sure.
I go through cycles, though. Like, I typically like to listen to the Stones in the summer. Mm-hmm. Stones or Neil, depending on where I am. If I'm in LA, usually when I'm in LA, and I don't know, did this start the Neil Young kick for you?
It was probably part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely didn't hurt it.
But you also saw him for the first time live a few years ago, and that was pretty life-changing, right?
That I saw him?
Yeah, when you saw him with Kurt Vile a few years ago.
Yeah, but I had seen him before that. But
Neil show? Yeah.
Probably opening for when Sonic Youth opened.
Oh, wow.
Might have been the first time I saw him.
So the Weld Tour, 91.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Which they just showed a, on Neil Young Archives, they just played like a, because he's putting these concert things up.
Yeah.
And I think he took the paywall down on the site.
Yeah, it's free right now.
And they showed a concert two nights ago that was from 91, Buffalo War Memorial, is one of the best things. He was just insane. He was so locked in, and that was a really good tour. And that would be when I loved him at a very early age. I was at a flea market and I found a pair of 3D glasses on the floor of this kind of like record shop. and they were 3D glasses that I guess Russ Never Sleeps had gave out 3D glasses when you'd go see it, because part of it was in Rustil Vision. So, and they were the glasses that somebody was selling at the store, and I bought them, and I was just, and I bought the album and then those glasses, and that was the start.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So what are you watching, Jason?
We watched Young Frankenstein the other night, which I hadn't seen in years, mm-hmm. and really enjoyed that.
Sure.
Other than that, we've been watching a lot of British TV. There's a show on Channel 4 called Hunted, where it's 5 episodes, and over the course of 5 episodes, at the start, they drop like 10 people into a city. So let's say they just drop them in the center of Birmingham, England. And then they have to run from surveillance and helicopters and stuff for the course of, like, I think 5 weeks to get to the end. And if they get to the end, beating all the surveillance and everything and people tapping, the phones and stuff, they win maybe like $100,000, something like that.
If they don't get caught?
If they don't get caught.
But how many people are chasing after them?
So it's like a team of like crack British surveillance officers who are like watching them on CCTV and going into all of their known associates and wiretapping their phones and getting calls and intel and everything in.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. So we've been watching a lot of that.
Watch that. Where are you watching that?
I watch that on Channel 4. You got a VPN in, and then you watch on Channel 4.
It's complicated already. I'm not.
I'll send you the instructions. It's easy. It's really easy.
It's tricky.
Yeah. No, I could show you how to do it.
I lost all interest. You said I went from being wildly interested in it.
I know.
Like, no, that sounds like a huge headache.
Yeah. No, it's super easy. I'll talk to you offline about
okay.
it.
Okay. All right.
So.
Because 5 weeks.
Yeah, for 5 weeks, they're all, like, living in the countryside, like, hiding out at known associates' places, and then the hunters show up and chase them.
What are the rules? Countryside. What are the rules for, if I was one of the contestants, how much engagement do I have to do with the, I mean, what stops somebody from going into the woods?
So the rules are you give up all of your credit cards, your cell phone, everything. Uh-huh. So you kind of have to have things in, like, a plan in place with your known associates. Like, I'm going to run from here to the Cotswolds and meet this friend of mine who's going to give me, some money and some camping gear that I pre-purchased. And during that, when they show up at that person's location, the hunters have already pinged that guy's phone, so they know they're there. And these hunters are driving all over England looking for them.
Uh-huh.
So.
I wonder if I could get away with that.
With being a contestant on Hunted?
Yeah.
I think you could do it.
Well, thank you. I believe you. I appreciate you believing in
it. Yeah. That. You got a lot of people that would support you.
Yeah. I got a network.
Yeah.
Right? Be hiding in Perry Schell's t-shirt closet.
Like E.T. and that scene
yeah.
with the dolls.
Yeah. Hide out in this t-shirt closet. Hope nobody catches me. Just like a giant 12-foot party sub.
I can almost hear him laughing out loud to this.
Yeah.
Just staying in that one location in that closet for 5 weeks.
Yeah. Just hide out. Well, yeah, maybe I'll watch Hunted. I don't know.
I'll send you the details.
Thank you.
It's there's a lot of great British television too. And when you do a VPN, mm-hmm. you can log into your Netflix and you have access to the British library on Netflix.
Okay.
And you got a lot of, like, all the Alan Partridge stuff is on there, which is nice. All right.
Okay. You're hooking me.
It's easy to do. I'll show you how it's done.
All right. I believe you.
It's perfect for the pandemic.
Yeah. Why don't we wrap it up and then
before we go, can we just really quickly want to give that birthday shout out?
Yeah, I don't want to. Of course, yeah.
Let's not do it.
I was kidding.
No. Let's just
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Who is it now?
John O'Keefe.
John O'Keefe, we wish you a happy birthday and a safe birthday. And I'm sorry you're not going to be around all your pals, John, but what you're going to do is you're going to stay alive so you can be around all your pals.
Yeah.
Very soon.
And your wife, Beth, reached out to us today to see if we could do something like this. And there you go. You get a happy birthday wish on the best show.
There you go. Happy birthday. And Pat, anything you want to announce?
I'm running for president officially.
You're running for president.
I vote for you.
As of today.
Okay. I will. You got my vote.
2020.
It's going to be tough going up against Jost.
Jost, yeah.
Yeah, it's write-in only, but I'm hoping we're getting the word out now. And
I'm glad you really got to jump on it.
Yeah. It's
early April. How about you, Jason? Anything you want to announce?
No dates for Jason Gore's Midlife Crisis.
No, it's on ice right now, everything else.
Yeah, it could happen again. And if it happens again, I will be happy to perform it for people.
Yeah, okay. So,
and there you go.
I will say that people can always go to patreon.com/thebestshow and get their bonus content, which is going up. And we're going to have some special bonus content going up very soon. Just put a Q&A up a few days ago. You can check that out. And I'm going to do another one. And we got a special limited edition series we're going to get into. It's going to be fun. And
yeah,
get that. And of course, the podcast I started with Julie Klausner, Double Thread, is fun. So check that out at Double Thread Pod.
I really enjoyed that hot dog bun story, Tom.
Yeah. I saw you tweeted. I can't believe
you sat on that story all these years.
I can't believe I never said that story.
It was a classic.
Well, thanks, Mike.
When I thought of what you were describing it, you comparing it to 2001: A Space Odyssey, which is good. But then I thought of maybe Braveheart, where one guy threw a spear, and that was the end. The end of the battle.
I never saw Braveheart.
You never saw Braveheart? Okay. No.
That's a big blind spot, right?
Well, not really.
I never saw The Patriot.
Never saw The Patriot. I never saw Braveheart. Never saw Shawshank Redemption.
That is way overrated.
Yeah, sure. It would have to be at this point, but I could just. It's like, okay, wait, it crawls through a sewer or something? What power to him? I don't know.
And he's a librarian, jail librarian.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll make it.
Also on the Patreon, just to plug it, the 50th episode of Half Hour Power.
That's right. Half Hour Power, 50th episode's up, and that is a long one.
96 minutes.
Ain't no half hour about that half hour of power. And Mike, of course, apmike.bandcamp.com is going strong.
Yeah, I've cut back. I'm making less trips to the post office, but I have a mailing going out. I was coloring some headshots today. Mm-hmm. I'll be caught up tomorrow. I'm glad I didn't do the cameo thing, because that would just look bad optically. Asking for money during a pandemic. I mean,
Buying cameos left and right, Mike. Cameos, that hasn't slowed down at all.
Cameo's more huge than ever now.
Yes.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. I hope so. You should still do it.
I think it would be a tasteful thing if you did it, because it would be you connecting with the fans.
Well, if we go into May, maybe I'll reconsider, but...
I'll answer that. We're going into May.
Yeah. The answer is yes, Mike.
May. No, I know we're going into May, When Trump says something, I just double it. He said 2 weeks.
I say May 2021.
So he's been a month. Honestly.
Yeah. So let's look. I will talk more about the cameo. Mike, you're a class act. You don't want to. You really do try to not rip off the best show fans and listeners of the show.
This is true.
It's a you're not just grabbing the first buck you can get your mitts on. You're a class act.
Thank you, Tom.
But you know, I still want to see you do these cameos. I think you'd be hilarious with it, and it would make so many people happy. I think we'd get a setup. If we could figure out a setup, you don't even have to leave your house, Mike.
Yeah.
We figure out a thing where you're doing it. You knock those things out.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you start doing those Vince Neil ones, Mike, I'll buy one.
Oh, I'll buy one too.
All right.
Does your phone have a camera?
Hey, Alan, it's AP Mike here. Just want to...
You have to be accepted first, though. You have to apply. You have to apply to Cameo.
Okay, well, then let's get you in. Let's
They literally approve everybody, Mike.
Do they? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I may be the first person. That's the first person they reject.
I think you're okay, Mike. There's a lot of comedians like Joe Firestone and Chris Gethard, Mary Houlihan, Mary Houlihan might have been doing equivalent ones or something, but people have been on it. It's not just, you don't just go on that thing and get Joe.
Then again, Andy Milonakis is on there.
Yeah. I'm going to get you one, Mike. I'm going to get you one from Joe Namath. How's that sound? See, I don't know if he's on there. I mean, there's no way he's not on that thing.
He's totally on there.
Joe Namath is doing it? Oh, that's sad.
Who is?
That's sad that Joe Namath is doing it?
Oh, I'm sure he must be, right?
I don't know. That would be sad to me, though.
There's nothing sad about Cameo, Mike. It's cash.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mike,
okay, maybe it's we'll a little sad.
Well, it's a little, but you're going to do something fun with it, which is going to completely mitigate all the sadness because you're just going to make it be a goof.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think people need it, Mike.
All right. If we go into May, I'll reconsider.
Yeah, sounds good. All right, Mike.
All right, guys.
All right, everyone, seriously, it all we joke around and everything. Everybody stay healthy, stay safe.
Yes.
Take care of yourselves.
Yep.
Respect the distancing and all that so we can all get through this and
wear a mask.
And wear a mask.
Please.
Wash those hands.
And somebody get me a clip of when Trump said the thing about that we'll all have a party when we get up through this. It's like, what party is anybody going to want to have with this guy?
Coachella.
Yeah, he's actually going to do Coachella next year.
Yeah.
He's actually. What if they said Trump is doing Coachella? What if it was like balanced out where it's like, it's the Smiths and Trump?
Yeah.
Like, where it's like, you're like, oh my God, the Smiths got back together and they're playing Coachella. And so, but Trump goes on right before the Smiths.
Yeah.
He'll intro them. Yeah. Yeah.
Just imagine he does like a 45 minute set of just like, of like slow blues. Like him playing harmonica.
Has he ever acknowledged that he's ever listened to music? I don't think that's ever happened.
You want to know the crazy thing? He likes Neil Young.
Yeah, he loves Neil Young.
That's one of the only people he's like said that he's Neil Young is great, and then Neil Young told him to stop playing his music.
He actually said that? I've never heard
that. He actually singled out Neil Young as a great artist.
Wow.
Yeah.
I never heard that.
Yeah, in the Crosby, Stills, and Nash bio, they're talking about a show at Madison Square Garden, and Trump was right up front.
Okay. No idea.
Right? Fishman's like, let me tell it to you, baby. I'm down on my knees. Like him singing those songs.
Southern Man. That's got to be his favorite, Southern Man.
He does, yeah. He likes Southern Man.
He hates the Graham Nash songs.
Yeah. Got to get down to it.
People are losing their lives. I'm doing Philly Boy Roy. All right, I gotta go. Before I do worse, Trump. That's so bad. Now you know why Alec Baldwin makes the big bucks.
There's all the dollars there for him.
Well, everybody, you stay safe and take care of yourselves. We'll be back next week. Do the best show every week. And enjoy this episode and enjoy your lives. Hello, best show.
Hey, Tom. It's Ted in South Newbridge. How you doing?
Hey, I'm good. You know, I'm just doing the show and having a pretty good time. What are you up to?
Awesome. Well, you know, just kind of hanging out. I've been catching up on this season of Curb. I finally watched all of it. I liked it.
Yeah, I was into this one too. I thought it was funny. It seemed like it was a little better than the previous one. Yeah, all the stuff with the Spite store was funny.
I thought it was funny. I was kind of torn about it though. I think it's a great idea, but it seems like, I don't know, it's kind of like the famous kind of pushing their weight around. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think there's a little bit of the idea. It's just like that Mocha Joe might still know how to run a coffee shop better than a guy who could just go back to writing a TV show anytime he wants and just lose interest in the store.
Exactly. It's like Larry has the ultimate safety net, but Mocha Joe, he's a lifer. He's in it for life, right?
Yeah. Mocha Joe's a real lifer, I guess. I never thought, you know, so I guess it's a, I sympathize with the lifers in those things, not with Jonah Hill opening a deli or because I mean, Jonah Hill's just going to go do a movie. And then what happens to the deli when he's on set in Atlanta?
No, he'll forget about it, right?
Yeah. So,
yeah.
But it was fun. It was a good season. Yeah. So what's going on with you?
Well, you know, Tom, the reason I'm calling is I hate to ask this, but I need some help.
Some help. Well, what's going on? What do you need help with?
Well, my 10-year-old son, Robbie, he's addicted to these roast battles on YouTube. Have you ever seen these things?
Like roasts, like on Comedy Central when they do like a famous person, like those roasts?
Well, yeah, he loves those, but he especially loves these roast competitions from, I guess it's like 3 or 4 years ago at this venue in New York called The Stand. And basically there's hours and hours of these things on YouTube and he just watches them all the time. And basically it's two people who roast each other. And then these successful stand-up comedians basically act as the judges.
Okay.
And Robbie especially loves this one judge. His name's Big J. Okerson. Uh-huh. And he loves him so much that he made his mother make him these mini black fingerless gloves like Big J wears. It's really, I don't know, I don't get it.
Yeah, and your kid is 10, you said?
He's 10, yeah. Okay. Yeah, and he's also been bugging us to get him one of those tiny hats that Rich Voss wears.
Sure. Yeah.
And he's also been asking if he can get some kind of hormone treatment that will help him start growing a big bushy beard like Mike Lawrence.
Yeah. Well, that is interesting. Like for a 10-year-old. Yeah. Huh. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm getting a little worried. You know, he's saying his main goal in life is to live with those guys and Anthony Jeselnik in a comedy condo for the rest of his life.
Huh. So he's got the bug of where these guys are his heroes now.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like these guys, I keep telling him, I don't know if these guys are the right guys for you or for anybody really.
To like idolize.
Yeah, there's like, yeah, you know, there's darkness with these cats, right?
Yeah, there is a darkness with these cats. Yeah. I could see. Yeah, it's weird for a child to be so drawn to it.
Yeah, I don't get it. And anyway, Robbie's become so obsessed with roasting that he's pretty much been roasting everybody in his life for the last 2 months, and it's driving us crazy. He's even calling himself the Roastmaster Jr., which is, of course, in honor of his mentor, Roastmaster General Jeff Ross.
Oh, that's his. He considers Jeff Ross to be his mentor.
Absolutely, yeah. And he's even started his own account on Instagram, and it's at Roastmaster Junior.
At Roastmaster Junior?
Junior, yeah. The word Junior.
Okay, hold on. I gotta see this. Oh yeah, there he is. Huh. Wow, he's really into documenting every aspect of his life, huh?
Everything. It's like, this couldn't bode less well for the future, could it?
That this is where his head is at?
Yeah, I mean, he's already saying things like, you know, Dad, I'm only doing this for the gram.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, I don't know. He's 10. I don't know if I'd worry about it so much. I mean, he's just a kid, and this is probably like a phase that he's going through.
That's what I thought at first, but I mean, this thing is taking over our lives. It's 24/7.
This whole roasting thing and gramming.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So he's what, roasting like his friends at school?
Everybody, friends, family, teachers, you name it. Oh my God, I'll tell you. Robbie's Little League coach was apoplectic the other day.
Mm-hmm. Why's that?
Well, he called me and he said during a team huddle, Robbie pointed at the team's shortstop and said, I'm not saying Timmy is bad at baseball, but he strikes out more on the field than Coach Davidson does down at Midnight Confessions Gentlemen's Club after his graveyard shift restocking the shelves at Adult World.
Ooh,
that's pretty it's pretty heavy.
Yeah, no, that's brutal. So with that, he's implying he's managing to take a shot at, was it Timmy, the other kid, like, so he's
Timmy on his team.
Yeah, he's ostensibly taking a shot at Timmy, but he's really sinking Coach Davidson by saying that he strikes out at the strip club after he restocks shelves at the adult shop he works at.
It's like a triple whammy, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, that's rough.
Yeah, it's very rough. And that's just the tip of the iceberg here.
Mm-hmm. What else is going on?
Well, I got a very irate call from Robbie's art teacher, Mrs. Meniscus.
Okay, sure. What did she say?
Well, basically, here's what he said to her. He said, "Look at you, Mrs. Meniscus. When you were attending art school, you had dreams of your works hanging in the Louvre. But here you are teaching art to a bunch of disinterested brats who hate your class so much they keep asking if they can go to the loo."
Okay. Oh, okay. I didn't. I get it now.
Right.
It's a little bit of a stretch on that one.
Well, it's very wordy, also, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But he's.
I'll tell you, Robbie was very down on himself for a solid week because that one just didn't connect.
Okay.
Yeah, the loo landed poorly due to his fellow students not knowing, A, what a loo was, and also not what the Louvre was. And I'll tell you, he was more upset about that joke's failure than with his 4-day suspension.
Oh, he got suspended from school for that.
Oh, yeah.
That's rough because he... But he's actually more caught up in his failed wordplay than about actually having to be suspended from school.
Absolutely. Huh. He was just beating himself up because he was walking around the house just going, "It's called word economy, you dink."
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, so he's taking it very seriously.
He is. And I'll tell you, man. At church the other day,
yeah,
Robbie got up and said, you know, my sister Karen has always had terrible taste in boys, but this new boyfriend makes Ricky Casso look like the world's nicest Weeblo scout. And then he said, Weeblo. That's what my parents say when they contemplate their life choices and parenting skills.
Well, look, those are real roast jokes. These are real. I mean, and look, there's part of it. I obviously the Weeblo part I get, and which is, you know, I know it's hard to you as the parent, but that's.
It's hard to hear your son say that sort of stuff.
Yeah, but it's kind of I understand that. I just don't get the part. Was it Ricky Casso?
Yeah, I didn't get that either. It turns out Ricky Casso was one of the very first heavy metal influenced teenage murderers back in the 80s. And it's like, where is he finding out about this stuff?
Ricky Casso, yeah. I mean, I think I remember that was like a thing in like there was like a Rolling Stone article in like probably like the mid 80s or so about that. But that's like, I don't know how a 10-year-old would have the slightest idea about any of that. I barely remember it.
It's crazy. I don't get it. I'm terrified of this kid at this point.
Yeah, that's unexpected.
Well, it gets worse. Unfortunately, I'm Robbie's main roast target now.
Well, okay.
And it's really getting to me because it makes me feel like I'm just losing authority over the whole household.
Okay, how so?
Well, the other day when he saw me sitting on the couch reading this Bed, Bath & Beyond catalog,
mm-hmm.
He comes up and he goes, "Look at you. You're like if Ward Cleaver had even less charisma and was even more of a, I can't say the word, Tom, but it begins with P and it ends with Ussy."
Okay. All right. That's brutal.
It is. It is. And everyone in the family was there. And I'll tell you, one night our neighbor Mike came over to borrow a rake.
Mm-hmm.
Robbie sees him out in the front yard talking, and he comes over and he just sidles up to Mike and goes, "You know, my dad works for his father-in-law. He's completely unqualified for the job, and everybody at the company hates him. Unfortunately, that's the least disturbing thing he has in common with Jared Kushner."
Oh, that's – wow.
Did you laugh?
I was more gasping, honestly. That's like a dismantling.
It is, and I don't like it.
No, you shouldn't.
Oh my God. I hope he doesn't. He never hears the word dismantled, because he's going to start calling himself the dad dismantler.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's. Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. So, all right. Then he said, "You know, Dad's Ford Escort is so uncool, even the only Escort he could afford was embarrassed to be seen in it."
Oh. These jokes are like, oh, I don't know. It's like the knowledge he has of certain things is,
I know,
shocking.
He's 10.
He's 10 and he's making escort jokes.
I don't get it.
His father.
I know. And then he said, "My dad is so pale. When he sees Jim Gaffigan on TV, he calls him dark meat hot pockets."
Okay.
I guess Jim Jim Gaffigan guy is tanner than I am.
Yeah, no, he's pretty pale too. So, wow, these are not nice.
No, and he all often gets on me about my music that I like.
Okay, like how so?
Well, like one of them was, "Dad's taste in music is so lame, he thinks 50 Cent is still the cost of a copy of Dirty Leg Show, that spank mag mom won't allow him to buy anymore."
That's ugly. That's actually...
He's 10!
He's 10. Oh my goodness. Yeah, So he's really just letting you have it, huh?
He really is. And he said, and then he also said, you know, Dad had a band in the early 90s. They were a culture club tribute band called the Church of the Poison Mind. Sadly, Dad was kicked out because the other guys in the band didn't think his stage presence was ballsy enough. I guess because Culture Club, the guys were not super, like, you know, macho. Oh,
yeah, okay. So, yeah, so that's like a zinger that, yeah. Okay, well, that's a really, that's mean. That's a mean.
I know.
That's a rough one. I don't like.
Doesn't feel good.
No.
And there was, Dad has great respect for Mom. Yeah, he really looks up to her. She's 5'6".
Okay, that's kind of a traditional one, but that wouldn't feel good coming from your son.
Nope.
No.
Oh, it's so upsetting.
Yeah, I can only
imagine. Even recounting it for you is upsetting to me. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah. What?
Are you crying?
Uh-huh. So, it's just bringing up all the original hurt. You know how that goes?
Yeah, yeah. It's like ripples in a. It's like you throw a rock into a pond, and it's like the initial hurt is when it hits the water, but the ripples are all the ones that have happened.
What's that, Dark Star?
What's that? What's that? I don't know what that is.
Oh, it sounds like that was a Robert Hunter lyric.
Oh, no. I was trying to... Never mind.
Okay. All right. So once at the dinner table, he said, here's to Mom. Unlike Dad's lower haunches, there's no fat on these steaks.
Okay. So he's making fun of your lower haunches.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And then he said to the principal at my school, at his school, yeah. Mom wears the pants in their relationship because, like his fashion guru Eddie Trunk, Dad wears cargo shorts 365 days a year. I don't even think the principal knew who Eddie Trunk was.
I gotta say, I kind of like that one. That's a pretty good. I'm impressed that a 10-year-old could string that together and kind of turn that into make a joke with those references in it is pretty impressive.
Wait, well, whose side are you on?
Look, I'm just admiring the construction of the things. It's impressive that he's only 10 and he's saying these things.
You know? Can have him.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, I don't know what you exactly want from me. You're the one who called me, Ted.
Well, here's what I want. I'm sick of getting roasted by my own child, and I want to be able to hold my own and maybe even out-roast him.
Okay.
And you're the only person I know who used to have some kind of very tenuous connection to the entertainment business. So, of course, you're the first person I thought of calling.
Well, that's very sweet of you, the way you phrase that. And what you thought of me for what now?
To help me roast that little turd.
To roast your own son, a 10-year-old.
Yes, yes.
I'm not going to be a part of that. I mean, I'm sorry. It's just like he's, even regardless of what he's saying, it's just like he's still a little kid, and it sounds like he's just having fun with this. And, you know, why don't you just consider, like, laying down the law and telling me you just can't do this stuff anymore?
Who are you talking to, Tom? I told you not to call me Ted, Robbie. I didn't call you Ted, Robbie, you dink.
Wow, that's you call.
See what I'm dealing with?
Yeah, he called you a dink. He sounded like that. Yeah, and you let him talk to you like that?
What can I do? He doesn't listen to me. It's like he's lost all respect for me at this point.
Sure. Yeah. Well, look, I see what you're talking about.
I said, who are you talking to? A, it's none of your business. And B, it's Tom Sharpling, okay?
that ape you're always listening to who talks only about pizza restaurants and prog rock? Oh, boy. You must really be going stir crazy if you're calling that human white noise generator.
Human white noise. Oh, okay. I'm Ted. Put Robbie on. I want to get in on this.
Are you sure?
Yeah. No, I see what you're talking about. I want in.
Okay. I'll get on the other line. Hang on. All right. Pick up the phone. Hello?
Robbie?
Yes.
Hey, I hear you like to roast people, huh?
Yeah, why do you care?
Well, you know, you think you're a pretty funny guy, and, you know, I don't know, I'd be willing to, why don't we just go toe-to-toe here? We go, you know, we do a round of roast battle. You up for that? Yeah, like tit for tat. We'll just go back and forth.
You're sure you want to jump in that ring?
Yeah, no, I'm sure.
All right, well, get ready to go down in flames.
Oh, that's okay. Well, maybe you get ready to go down in flames.
Okay, I'm gonna toss a coin. All right, and hang on. All right, Tom, you call it. Okay.
Okay.
Here we go.
Heads.
It is heads. All right. Tom, you can go first or you can defer.
You know what? Why don't you go first, Robbie? I'll defer.
All right. You know, Tom has been doing the best show for so long. It's really impressive. I mean, who knew there were that many candy bars to get mad about for 20 years?
that's a good one. That's funny. That's a good one. And that's my turn now.
All right, it's Tom's turn.
Okay. Hey, Robbie, you're so annoying that you could even make a Happy Meal unhappy.
Oh man. All right, now it's my turn.
Okay, yeah, it's your turn.
You know, it must be hard to watch other shows get more successful while the best show stays right where it was. The next season of Serial should investigate the death of your career.
Hey, that's pretty good. That's good, you know? Hey, Robbie, you know, you're what, 10 years old?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not even full grown yet, you know? I mean, you're just a little kid. You're not even a half pint. You're a shot glass.
You okay, son? Shut up, Dad.
Is this?
The best show used to be on WFMU. Now it's not on the radio anymore, just online. What's next? Talking into Dixie cups with string attached?
That's okay. That's cute. That's funny. You know, Robbie, you seem like a good kid. You actually remind me of a cloud. When you go away, the day gets brighter.
Hey, Tom, what are you doing?
I was just trying to roast him. I'm just like, you know, that's what he said. That's what you wanted. You wanted help with the stuff, you know? And I'm just doing these jokes.
I know. I wanted you to roast him, but can you lighten up a bit?
Can I lighten up? I'm doing these things. These jokes are pretty soft that I'm
doing. I said lighten up.
I don't get it. Okay.
All right, let him have it, son.
Wait, let him have it. Wait, now you're rooting for him?
Tom is always complaining that people will appreciate the show once he's dead. Well, why don't you give us a chance to appreciate it then?
Okay, so yeah, that's very good. That's very good. You know, Robbie, you're 10 years old. You're not fully grown yet. And I mean, I don't want to say you're short, But when you like wave your hand around, I call that a microwave.
How dare you treat my son like this? He's only 10.
He's only 10. Okay. I mean, his jokes were so mean. He just literally said he wished I was dead.
But he's only 10.
Yeah, I understand he's only 10. I mean, I'm trying to just do these jokes. His jokes were so mean. And you're going to turn on...
He's just a kid. And I'll tell you one thing. You can bet your ass that we're going to be suing you for flagrant defamation of a defenseless child. I'm just a little kid.
Great. How does this happen? I was trying to help. This guy calls me. I'm trying to help this guy. He can't control his own kid. And then I give his kid a little bit of a hard time with this. My jokes are just... And then his dad's going to sue me now? Oh, look. And I just got a message from Robbie on Instagram. Oh, you haven't heard the last of me, you POS. As soon as this GD quarantine, and he misspelled quarantine as Q-U-A-R-A-N-T-E-N, so he didn't even spell quarantine right. As soon as quarantine is over, I'm going to F you up, you GDM. Oh, here's one I never actually heard. You GDMFQH. Wow. Okay. QH. Oof. That's actually worse than the more I think of. QH is maybe the most offensive part of this whole thing. Oh, he just posted posted a video of himself slashing my tires. Oh, how is this even possible? I thought this kid was in Newbridge. Ugh. I don't even know why I bother with these people. I don't know. Well, I guess I just lost the roast.
Yeah, so right now I am in my car at the home of Mary Lattimore and Paul Sakina, and they're going to play some harp and guitar, and that's exciting, and I'm going to just... shut up and let them get themselves set. So I'm going to zip my lips, and then they're going to start playing in a second. It's very exciting. It's a positive side of pandemics. There's no positive side of pandemics. Just stay safe, people. What are we going to do? Oh, God. So,
I was liking the modulation.
They're getting ready. Now I'm in their driveway. They're inside. I can't even see them. They ran the 25-foot cord into the home. I'm going to shut up now.
We'll be right back. Thank you.
Am I asleep? No, I'm not asleep. Why would I be asleep? That was amazing. Oh, that was so beautiful. Oh, it's... really? Well, talking to the mic.
How do we hear you?
You can come. Yeah, if you stand there, that's perfect. Yeah.
Cool.
Mary Lattimore, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
It's good to see
Tom,
you.
Tom, you're in my driveway.
I'm in your driveway, and you're inside. I couldn't even see what you guys, you could have just played a record for all I know.
Yeah, that's what we did.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
You got me. So, Mary Lattimore and Paul Sakina. That was amazing.
Thank you.
Mary plays harp. Now, when your mom played harp?
Yeah, my mom still plays a harp.
And she still plays harp. So, at least it makes the leap a little, because it would be, it's hard to picture like a kid saying, I want a harp.
Yeah, sometimes they do, though. Like, I've taught a lot of little kids how to play the harp, and sometimes they'll, like, see the Nutcracker or whatever, and they'll be like, oh, I want to, that thing looks cool, I want to, or that thing is so pretty. But for me, I was kind of forced to play it.
Sure, because mom played harp. Mm-hmm. And where did she play harp?
She lives near, we're from North Carolina, so... I grew up in Asheville, but we live on a farm kind of, my parents live on a farm like, maybe an hour from Asheville. And my mom was the principal harpist with the Asheville Symphony for many, many years since she was 25 years old. She just retired last year. So
okay.
She still teaches and plays around there. She plays a lot of gigs still. So
you went from North Carolina to Philadelphia. And what was that move all about?
I went from North Carolina. I went to school in Rochester, New York.
Okay.
And then after Rochester, I went to Vienna, Austria, and I lived there for a couple years. And then I moved to Philly from Vienna because my visa ran out.
Okay.
Just wanted to pick a place to live. And I knew Greg Weeks and Otto Hauser from Espers, and they lived in Philly at the time. And so I went to go kind of hang out with them and kind of got to know them and their circle of music friends. And there was a real... you know, Philly.
Sure.
Philly, there's such a close-knit community there, and that's how I met Paul, too.
Yeah. Hi. And Paul, where'd you grow up?
I grew up in central PA in a town called Mechanicsburg, which is, like, right next to Harrisburg.
Sure. So you're a Pennsylvania vet.
Yeah. I lived there until about a year ago when my wife and I moved out here to Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. And what led to that? Just this is where the action is?
Yeah, where the work is, I guess. We were just there. I lived in Philly for 15 years. Mm-hmm. I went to school there, and I just, you know, kind of ran its course. I loved it there, but felt like it was time to move. My wife is also from out here, so.
Okay, so that made a little bit of sense.
We have family nearby, and, you know.
And then you're busy. You play with Steve Gunn, who's another Philly guy who bounced to Brooklyn, right?
Yep.
And Mary, you were supposed to be on tour right now.
With Steve.
It would have been you and Steve and
William Tyler.
And William Tyler all in a van and I'm assuming Michael Slabach.
Oh, yeah, Michael.
Yeah.
Michael Slabach driving the rented Ford van.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, Michael does all the Sharpling and Worcester tour stuff.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I forgot
and
about that.
We
yeah.
did the box set together. Michael
that's right,
produced
of course.
The box set.
I
yeah.
Have it right in here.
Yeah.
You have the box set in there. I wish I could sign it for you. I can't get throw a pen at it.
from
would you feet away.
Consider doing that? Would you throw a pen at my box
no,
set?
No, let's wait till this is over and I'll properly enter your home and
yeah, come over. Come over when this is all done.
Yeah. Isn't it so strange that like the simplest of things is like not real, like you think about the things that you completely took for granted. The idea of like, oh, I'm just going to go have coffee. I'm going to go get coffee and sit down with it.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you can't do that. And now you're scared getting the coffee.
Mm-hmm.
It's so, like, those are the adjustments for me that are hard. The little things that I realized were, like, rituals that kept me sane. And that's what I struggle with is, like, I realize how important it was for me to go get coffee somewhere and for me to just, like, just maybe walk around a bookstore or to walk around a record store. And, like, those things, that's when I feel like I lose my marbles, when those things are off the table. Yeah. You know, what are things like that that you, what have been the hard parts and the surprisingly positive parts of this for both of you?
Of this whole thing? I mean, for me, I live next to, we share a porch. Paul and Nikki and I share a porch, and I just moved into this apartment in November. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I am so lucky to have my close friends in my little cell pod thing, and they cook for me. They're really good cooks. Mm-hmm. I'm a terrible cook. And so I think actually like having to rely on either my own cooking or my friends to cook for me is real weird.
Sure. And what are you guys, like, it's a Philly fest going on in there? What do you have? Utz? Is it like a Philly fest going on in there?
Philly fest? Yeah. Should we come down a little bit? Because
you could, if you're having a hard time hearing me, come a little closer. Yeah. We're still well within bounds. We are still safe. Yeah, come closer. I have headphones. I can hear.
Yeah, this is better.
That's better. So, yeah. So, what do you have going on? And
helicopters.
Guys, yeah, helicopters. Do you have like Utz chips? Right. What do you have? Like Frank's.
Oh, for dinner.
Yeah.
What do they cook?
Like. What is it, just like cheesesteaks? And
yeah, it's just it's cheesesteaks, a lot of soft pretzels.
Sure, like
a lot of water ice. Uh-huh.
Do you order off a screen like Wawa?
So Mary. Yeah, we put a touch screen in Mary's living room. Okay. She just selects what she wants.
Hoagie.
Yeah, you just press. It's just like, no, Mary, just talk to us. You don't have to order. You don't order food. We don't work for you. And don't use a touch screen. That's really insulting. Yeah, that's nice. The community, the sense of community. You moved to the right place at the right time then.
Yeah, it just happened to be. And both Paul and I are on tour so much, and this kind of gives us like a way to get kind of grounded in our apartments and like really feel at home.
Sure, because Mayor, like we said, it was going to be the super tour of Steve Gunn, William Tyler, and Mary Lattimore. I'm not putting in that order. I would put Mary first on that list. But that tour did not happen. Will that hopefully happen someday?
Yeah, I think in the fall.
Okay.
It's going to get rescheduled. I think everybody's going to be touring all at once, together in the fall.
October's going to be like, I'm seeing a movie and a show and every single thing that ever happened. Is all happening in October.
Yeah.
October's going to be like entertainment palooza month, where it's like there will literally be five things a night going on, and everybody will have haircuts again and will be groomed.
Everybody's going to be looking for friendship and company. Like,
oh, my. Can you imagine what it's going to be? Exactly.
Everybody's... No one's going to be making sourdough starters anymore.
Friendship and company. That's a nice way of putting it. That's what people will be looking for. It's really strange. So that's the hard part. How have you been both dealing with the isolation of all this stuff?
I mean, for us, it's nice to have Mary around, because my wife and I might kill each other if Mary wasn't. So, like, usually towards the evening, once we're done with the day's projects or whatever we're working on, we'll be like, hey, should we have Mary over for dinner and cards or whatever?
Sure.
Mary's like, hi, guys, like a little golden retriever.
Yeah.
What's up, guys? But then the end of the night comes and Mary goes back to her own zone. And I feel like it's cool that we can each have our private space. But then, all, you know, it's kind of the dream, I think.
Yeah, it's nice.
It's like being roommates, but not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what about you, Tom? Like,
I'm pretty holding up okay.
Are you cooking?
I mean, a lot of cheese.
Nice.
Fair amount of cheese.
Cheese steaks?
Cheese sandwiches. I could whip up a pretty mean cheese on a piece of bread. And I'm learning to do things like pour salad dressing on it.
Yeah.
And then put lettuce on it. And then it's like a little health sandwich.
In the same way, learning. It's like doing all these adult things that like learning how to like stitch stuff up.
Uh-huh.
Darn holes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. So right now, Paul, you would have been home, or you would have been out also?
I would have been home. We finished the last Euro tour in
Because you play with, like, Steve Gunn, we said, but also Angel Olsen.
Yeah, I play guitar in Angel Olsen's band, and we're, like, kind of in the first quarter of an album cycle, just touring our, you know, butts off. And we did a tour of Europe that finished around Valentine's Day, and then we were supposed to have a little lag of, like, a month and a half, 2 months. Sadly, we were going to play Willie Nelson's Ranch, that Luck Reunion show, which got canceled.
And sure.
We had a tour, a Southern tour booked in April that got postponed. But I was going to be on tour basically from like April, mid-April until the end of July.
Okay.
And I don't think any of that's happening anymore.
No, like my May Euro tour is probably canceled. They haven't announced that it's canceled yet, but I think it's probably done, you know?
Yeah. It's...
Oh, well...
So we adapt and start.
Yeah,
making,
you're adapting. Like, yeah. I feel like we're all like having to adapt.
I'm doing my show in a car.
This is cool.
I'm adapting. This is all I can do.
Yeah.
And you're doing all you can do.
It's awesome to see you.
It's interesting because awesome. Maybe this is like how a lot of people absorb, like listen to your show in the car on the radio.
And now I do it in the car.
Now you're like making the show right there with
them. I look.
Yeah.
They really feel like you're in the passenger seat.
It is pretty amazing that we just like the technology just favors stuff now, at least to kind of think on your feet and figure out ways to make adjustments. It's like, if could you imagine going through this kind of thing in like the 90s when there was no like Netflix or no internet established to the degree it is now. And the speed. Right. Well, what would that be like?
That dial-up sound?
Do you want to watch?
Do you ever connect?
Yeah.
You want to watch the VHS copy of Jurassic Park for the 16th time? Or Forrest Gump or something?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. The two-tape version of Titanic. that extra-wide Titanic.
So you got to replace the tape in the middle. Yeah.
Two VHS. I never saw all of Titanic.
We watched it recently, and I kept thinking, like, we were watching it, and the thought kept going to my head, why the hell did anyone make this movie?
Uh-huh.
Because it's just, like, the worst concept of all time.
Uh-huh, you know, because it just...
It's just, like, mass.
Yeah. Like, I watched, like, a half hour of it, and then I was just like, I don't like this.
Yeah.
And I saw none of the boat stuff. I've seen none of that. I've only seen that on, like... clip shows and things. And like the other day I finally saw him like sink under the water. I was like, well, I guess that's what it looks like when he dies.
That's what happens to him.
I literally didn't see that until like 2 days ago.
You're so like, lucky. That was my sister's favorite movie, so we had to watch it over and over. She loved Leo.
Sure.
I had to watch it.
Well, what was your favorite movie then, Mary?
Growing up?
Yeah.
When what year was that? 90?
90, that was probably 97, 98,
something
right?
Like that,
98. I guess I was like 18 years old. I don't know. Clerks, was that? I feel like maybe that kind
Clerks,
of stuff.
Mallrats.
Yeah.
Yeah. Reality Bites.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you were
singles.
You were big Kevin Smith fan back then.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess.
Sure.
Yeah. Sure. Like those kind of things.
Yeah, and then you also. So what year did you arrive in Philly?
2005.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We should give a shout out to our friend KV.
Yeah. KV and to Leah, our other Philly friend.
Leah. Hi, Leah. And also Willie Tyler, he went back to Nashville to hang out with his parents and stuff. There,
sure.
So.
Well, that makes, but he'll be back.
Yeah, he'll be back hopefully soon. Yeah, hopefully.
You can't. He's too big for Nashville now. He just is. He's like the LA, he belongs in LA because it's like that kind of thing, like, he's the perfect kind of guy who goes from Tennessee to Los Angeles and then just, like, is the best of both places.
Yeah.
Kinda.
He still carries Tennessee with him, you can tell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he needs to be on, like, on a big stage here with all, like, the fancy people.
Yeah, what about that film that he scored? That film is so beautiful.
Oh, my God. First Cow?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was so great. What an amazing movie.
Yeah.
Kelly
so
Reichardt is the best.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for her also. That movie was in theaters for like a week before all this happened. And It opened and was doing really great. Yeah. Like, it did the best of any of her movies to date. And then now, I guess it just, I don't know if it's going to be on demand like earlier than they had planned, but it really, what an amazing movie. And it was great to see her just kind of like, she just does the things the way she wants to do them. Yeah. And yeah.
Personal style so strong. Yeah, I feel that's who I feel bad for. Is a lot of people who that's some of the people I feel bad for, is like, who have been working on their records and it comes out now.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, my friend Becky, who she's graciously allowed me to use her paintings, her huge beautiful paintings, for my record cover. So I've used like 5 of them now. And she had a big art show in New York, like where she had spent the whole year working on these paintings, and then the gallery closed like after a week. Oh. So, you know, just
yeah,
all that work, all that energy. But I don't know. We have to learn some kind of. We have to learn something from it somehow.
Yeah.
I don't know what, but
look, hopefully we all stay healthy and stay alive and get through this, and come out the other side of it. And I think people might, everybody's relationship to a lot of things is going to change in terms of, like, I think people will appreciate making what it is to receive a thing that's made also. Totally. Like, look at what the two you just did was so beautiful, and you just did it. And it's a gift now that will, the people will hear years from now, that will be heard. And it was such a thing in the moment that will also have it will be freed from that moment also. It's very impressive, and I think people will appreciate how, what it is like to kind of maybe be somebody who gives your life to making stuff, and that it's not always easy, and but it's kind of your calling also. So, like, do you have any choice? What would you do suddenly if you couldn't do what?
Probably work at Wawa.
Right? Yeah. You'd go back to Pennsylvania.
Work at Wawa.
Sure.
Sling some hoagies. You
know? Which one? Which Wawa would be the dream one to work at?
The Port Richmond one, because they're all, unfortunately, they got COVID at the Port Richmond one.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah.
So what would you want to be? Like the Center City one?
No, that one's pretty crazy, too.
That's a pretty intense Wawa.
Jersey Shore. Down the shore.
Okay, like an Ocean City.
Yeah. I wrote a song about the one on the Jersey Shore at Long Beach Island.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See?
Almost 700.
You can't stop flying the flag.
I have no idea what.
I know, same. I think about that too, because we, you know, like if we break a finger or something like that, like what would I do? I don't know. I don't really have many other skills, like as far as like practical things that I could do. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's but you both have handed your life to this dream and passion and enthusiasm and whatever you want to call it, and then you do it, and I think people will maybe realize that people who make stuff weren't just goofing around the whole time. That it was
just like avoiding responsibility.
Yeah, exactly. You chose a certain kind of responsibility that might not be as regimented in some ways, but it's extremely regimented in every other way.
Mm.
It's like, I think, but the goal is to stay alive, and that's why I'm wearing gloves, even though it's hot. My fingers are probably all pruned up now. So for you guys, you're just kind of holding tight, and we'll see what the fall looks like.
It's pretty awesome, I have to say. I'm sure Paul feels this way, too. It's just to have a distraction, number one, with, like, an instrument, and also, like, a cathartic kind of outlet, you know, if I'm feeling like, I mean, because you know how this goes. Like, it's the highs and lows. It's, like, crazy fear and paranoia and sadness and, like, too much reading the news and walking around and, like, having to cross the street when you see a person, it's like mentally fucked.
Yeah, yeah.
Really. And so like having an outlet, like sitting down and playing an instrument, I feel like is really awesome. And I hope that people can find that for themselves, whether it's, you know, like drawing or cooking or whatever, like hanging out with your family and just like a reason to not think about all that bombardment of crazy news.
Some kind of peace, like the to be able to tap into some sort of escape and
peace. Exorcism.
Yeah. Yeah, because
a little bit.
It finds, like, you can stop. You don't have to, like, look at the news round the clock. It will find you. Like, yeah, the news, like, finds you at this point.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you don't even have to go say, like, I'm going to go see what's going on. It, like, chases you down and taps you on the shoulder and tells you. Like, you, it's unavoidable.
Right. Mm-hmm. You go log into any form of social media, and all of your friends are immediately chattering about whatever the hell's happening. And you're like,
yeah.
Yeah. No, it's amazing.
Before it was the election on top. Now it's this on top of the election stuff. And
yeah.
And chatter, chatter, chatter.
Well, just try not to have those shows on, like, debate nights in October.
That's a totally good point.
Because that's coming. Yeah. Just be, try to keep in mind when you book those things for the fall, look at what, I don't know what nights debates take place on, but do your shows on nights that aren't those nights.
Well, also, my booking agent, Timmy, he was like, I don't want to book you at all in November just in case a bad thing happens. And then, because people will be so depressed after a bad news, you know. So that was kind of a thing to think about. It's weird.
Because I got in a car accident on election night 2016, which was amazing. And then, because I did the show on election night and drove home and hit a deer.
Oh,
going
man.
Going about 75 on the... on the turnpike. Never saw a deer on exit 13. Have you ever seen a deer? Well, I saw one when I hit him.
Wow.
And then, like, two nights later, I saw the Pet Shop Boys. Like, I had tickets to see the Pet Shop Boys. And there was such a pall over the entire event where, even though they weren't addressing it, they're just kind of like, yeah, we're making music for a different world now.
Yeah.
So
Leonard Cohen died too, right?
Yeah, that's right.
It's like, man.
Yeah.
We had that was like the kickoff to the last Angel Olsen album cycle, and we had just finished a month in Europe, so we like left in the beginning of October, and we got back, and we landed in New York like the day before Election Day, and we had some press on Election Day, and you know, obviously what happened happened. Mm-hmm. And it was like, we went and did this radio thing and no one spoke.
Uh-huh.
No one. Like, I think Angel did an interview, I'm not really sure, but we did a live session and, like, no one in the studio was speaking, no one in the band was speaking to each other. And then we just kind of all walked away and, like, literally the tour ended and we were like, all right, see you.
See you soon.
See you in a few weeks.
Yeah.
Damn.
So insane.
Yeah.
I hope that, you know, when we come out of this, it's a... I think people are going to be so excited.
We're going to be even more attached to each other, I think. I mean, like, everybody's going to feel really, like, even just seeing you right now, it's like, wow, a breath of fresh air.
I know. I feel the same way. Yeah. I get to see another face, a couple more faces.
I know.
Wow. So where do people find out about both of you?
I guess Instagram.com on the World Wide Web.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Do you want to get more, a little more specific?
I've got an Instagram page. That's about all that I do. It's Paul, P-A-U-L-T-H-O-S, which is a shortening of my middle name, Thomas.
Okay.
And then, yeah.
That's it. Yeah. I'm Mary over there on Instagram. And then I have a Bandcamp, which is marylattimoreharpist.bandcamp.com.
Okay. When does that record come out, Mary? When do you think?
Like September or October or something like that, you know?
Be perfect.
Perfect timing.
People throwing
for bombardment.
Their front doors open.
I don't think anything's going on at all.
Yeah,
yeah, everybody's gonna be super just quiet and bored.
No, it'll set the mood perfectly. It'll be nice, something nice.
Yeah.
So that's everybody. Stay alive, because then you can hear Mary's record.
Stay alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
hi,
everybody. Thank you both for doing
thanks,
this.
Thanks, Paul.
So
thanks, Tom.
That's all right.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Mary.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tom.
Of course. Thank you. Well, thanks for listening to The Best Show. I appreciate it so much. And thanks to my guests, Mary Lattimore and Paul Sakina, and to everybody who helped make the show work and stay going and keep cranking. And we were going to keep doing it. And check it out next week. Got another great episode coming. And we've also got a lot of bonus content over at patreon.com/thebestshow. Stuff going up all the time. Got a big surprise coming soon. Then, also, listen to Double Threat, the podcast I do with Julie Klausner. So funny. At Double Threat Pod. Do that. Help your friends out. Stay healthy. Stay safe. And we will talk to you next week. Bye.